sermon for the Baptism of Our Lord, Sunday, the first Sunday after the Epiphany, January the 11th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our sermon text is from St. Matthew's account, chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered him, Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now a sermon entitled, The Certainty of Baptism. Are you sure? How can you be so certain? Have you ever had such questions asked of you at a time when you were asserting something that you knew to be the case? Questions like these can enter our minds, and there they start playing tricks. You begin to second-guess yourself. You ask yourself, am I right about this? You think, maybe I was mistaken. Perhaps I don't know what I'm talking about. I could be losing my mind. The devil himself likes to sow his seeds of doubt and confusion. After all, as Christians, we are people of faith. Should our doubt overcome our faith, then that's a victory for him. He has then stolen us away from the Heavenly Father, staking his claim upon our immortal souls. That's his goal. That's his endgame. He knows that his time is short, and he wants to take as many as he can down with him. He particularly delights when he can reclaim those who had been the Lord's. Our enemy has all sorts of spokespeople for him, sowing the seeds of doubt, confusion, and unbelief into the hearts of the faithful. And one way he succeeds is in a prevailing false teaching within the church regarding baptism. He has teachers claim that baptism is merely a person's act of obedience to show the Lord and others that he or she has chosen him. Those who hold to this will be ones who despise infant baptism. After all, the infant didn't make a choice, so nothing happened there. This is too bad, since baptism serves as our assurance that we are the reclaimed and washed sons and daughters of God. Instead, for their assurance, the false teacher has people rely on that hour and act when they made their decisions to believe in the Lord. Here's something that may have happened to you. You meet a fellow Christian, and he asks you, Brother, sister, when were you saved? If you came to faith as an adult, it is possible that you may remember some special experience of coming to faith, and so can easily answer. However, if you are one who can't remember not believing, you're stumped. This may make you feel like you are outside the kingdom. But you need not be so concerned. Instead, you can look to your baptismal certificate, or ask your parents or sponsors, or even look to church records and see the date that you were brought for baptism. When asked, Brother, sister, when were you saved? You can then simply provide this date. You You see, baptism isn't about a decision we make. It's about a claim made upon us by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Although those present to witness it only saw some water applied and heard a few words spoken, so much more was taking place. How much more? To help answer this, we can look now at the events that surround the time when Jesus was baptized. Today we read from St. Matthew's account of how Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John, the humble servant, was reluctant. After all, it was one thing to baptize sinners, however, Jesus wasn't one. John had already identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Who was he to baptize him? And so therefore it says John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" John, as a sinner, was the one in need, so he thought that in this case the two of them should be switching roles. But Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." There was a divine plan and purpose for Jesus being baptized. It would inaugurate Jesus' public ministry, and it would also be how he would identify with sinners. Jesus would take upon himself the sins of the world, not unlike the lambs sacrificed in the temple. Realizing that Jesus knew better than he did concerning what was fitting, it says, "Then John consented." Clearly, he could do no other. Now, listen next to what then occurred, as Matthew tells us. "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" That was truly amazing. It confirmed for John that he rightly had identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, for he is the sinless Son of God who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, Jesus had the sins of the world placed upon him at his baptism. With them, Jesus had to die. It didn't happen just then, but it did after 3 more years, following his teaching, preaching, and the performing of many miracles. Jesus, with all our sins on him, was condemned to die on Calvary's cross, betrayed, sentenced, humiliated, beaten. Jesus was even forsaken for a time by the Father while on the cross, for recall how he cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Father actually turned away from his beloved Son for a time, which is hell. However, he did it for us and for our salvation. I like the way Paul speaks of it in Colossians 2, where it says that we who otherwise were dead in our trespasses, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. For this Jesus set aside, nailing it to the cross. Jesus made peace between us and the Father by the blood of his cross. Jesus' resurrection from the dead on the third day confirms it so. Now, according to Jesus' own words, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. For a small child, baptism is the means by which he or she is brought into this faith, and so their sins are washed away. For one who is older, baptism assures them that God has his claim upon them, not a result of their decision, but by God's own choosing. It's a simple, gentle act, but powerful, wonderful, and mysterious. You see, Jesus being baptized is prescriptive in that we require baptism, and Jesus' baptism is descriptive, for it tells us what happens in every baptism. Immediately, when we come up from the water, behold, the heavens are open to us. This is because, even though we don't see it, the Spirit of God descends on us, coming to rest on us. And though we don't hear it, there is a pronouncement made for a voice from heaven affirms, "This is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, with whom I am well pleased." One could easily make the point that for Christians, the day of their baptism is more significant than the day of their birth. It was the day they entered the kingdom of God, born again of water and the Spirit. Indeed, your baptism is your assurance that you are a child of God. False teachings on this from those who otherwise may not be the worst teachers lead people to doubt their salvation. They will cause the same people to come forward time and again for altar calls just so they can be sure. Sadly, they never can be, for this is placing their assurance on something that they do. How much better it is to be sure and certain because of what God does, and how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit promise to act upon us through water and the Word. Friends, we're talking about Jesus' baptism today, as well as our own baptisms, because they make a daily difference. They make a difference for us in this new year and beyond. C.F.W. Walther, a 19th century Lutheran theologian, once had this to say on our topic: "Now then, all of you who believe in God's word, let your watchwords for entering the new year be this: I am baptized. In every time of need, you will find comfort in your baptism. On account of it, Satan will flee from your faith and confession, and in death you will see heaven opened and will finally come into the joy of your Lord to celebrate a great year of jubilee, a year of praise with all the angels forever and ever." There's no need to allow anyone, even if their intentions may be good, to cause you to doubt your salvation. Don't base it on the sincerity of any decision, for often we are insincere. Don't base it on ceasing to sin either, for as sinners you can't cease. Rather, base it on the fact that you are baptized into the mighty name of the Triune God. Base it on what Jesus has done for you on the cross and at the empty tomb, and not on what you do for him. God's Spirit has descended upon you. Heaven is open to you. You truly are God's sons and daughters, not because of you, but because of Jesus. The Father is well pleased with us. Have no doubt. Be certain. Baptism is your guarantee. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. And to those who believe in his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He or she that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.